is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer, shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Joey Shelley and Bob McGalley. This is your inside perspective on the NHL players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Lodge with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McGalley.
Welcome back once again to the Inside Edge. Here we are on the eve of opening day. The Blue Jackets taking on the Boston Bruins tomorrow to get the 2016-2017 season underway. I'm Bob McElligott alongside of Jody Shelley. Quick crash course on how to work all the controls again over here. But I think we're good and ready to go, just like the Blue Jackets, Jody.
Yes, Bob. Test 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we're back. We're back. Excellent. Yeah, it's been a fun month of watching the young guys in Traverse City, watching training camp, getting together a couple times at some team functions and watching these guys grow together, watching the lineup get dwindled down to 23. And, it's such an exciting time of year, Bob. I love summer, but I absolutely love fall. I love college football and NFL, and boy, I'll tell you what, NHL season starts tonight, Blue Jackets start tomorrow night, and it is a fantastic time of year.
No question. And at 5 o'clock this afternoon, you were just alluding to it, the final roster was set for the Blue Jackets. This is an organization that at the end of last year, going into the summer, all through the summer, at the draft, after the draft, during development camp, after development camp, the message was there will be changes. And you will have to earn a spot to be on this team. Nothing is guaranteed. We have seen some changes from this group. Most notably, Gregory Campbell was put on waivers a couple of days ago. He cleared waivers. He has been beaten out for the fourth line center spot by William Karlsson. Also, today there was another roster move made. Yesterday, Alexander Wennberg was assigned to the Cleveland Monsters, and they did that, created a little bit of salary cap space for themselves, had Pierre-Luc Dubois here. He skated this morning, but as of late this afternoon, Wennberg is recalled from Cleveland, and Pierre-Luc Dubois was sent back to his junior team in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League in Cape Breton. Let's start with that, Jody. This guy was taken number 3 overall. It surprised a lot of people in the NHL that he was taken in the draft at number 3. The Blue Jackets thought they had their man. They still feel that they have their man, but their man just turned 18 over the summer. He is very young. He was in camp, and, you know, he had good moments. He had bad moments, just like everybody else, just like a young kid will. But he's not ready yet, and in my opinion, they did the exact thing they should have done, sent him back and let him develop.
I agree with that, Bob, and it's a luxury, I think, to be able to do that in the National Hockey League. At the professional level, you can have a 20-year-old go down to the farm system once he reaches the ripe old age of 20 after playing in the Canadian Hockey League. But he's only 18. He can't even go there next year if they decide to send him back. He's going to have to go back to amateur in Canada. And, yeah, it's excellent for him to come here. He was exposed to this team right after he was drafted. There was the development camp, or if you will, in the midsummer. And then he had time on his own to develop and work out. But a game plan in place as a Columbus Blue Jacket. And he said all the right things coming to camp. He wanted to make the team. He wanted to win Rookie of the Year. His attitude has been fantastic. And I thought his best practice was today when Wennberg was assigned to Cleveland. He was on the fourth line. He was the center of that line. He had jump in his step and a smile. But you're right. He's going back to develop, and that's a big deal for the Columbus Blue Jackets because that means that they have young guys in place and not needed to be rushed.
And they actually did something during the summer that was a good move, and it was to guard against him not being ready, and that is signing the free agent Sam Gagner, who they signed to a one-year contract. You've got Gagner, who's a former 6th overall pick. He's kind of bounced around going from Edmonton to Arizona. Last year was in Philly and actually played a little bit in the minors last year too. So he's looking to resurrect his career. This team needs a centerman. Works for him, works for them, and now you don't have to push a young kid into a spot that he's just not ready for.
And if you recall last year, Bob, going into this last year's season, the talk was the depth at the center ice position for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Ryan Johansson was here, and he was a horse that it was going to be dependent on. We know how that shook out after the poor start and Ryan getting shipped off, bringing in the blue chip Seth Jones. So you bring in Gagner, and I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. When you have depth there with, okay, Wemberg is, he's a third-year guy. He's still a young guy trying to find his way. He's developing his role a little bit. Dubinsky, we know what he is for sure. The fourth-line centerman is Carlson. He's kind of got that way with him, and that pushed out Campbell, like you said. Gagne comes in there, and, you know, what are you going to get from Gagne? He finished the year well in Philly, but coming into camp, no one was really sure from the outsiders what was he going to be. But watching right away, you could see he established himself as a playmaking centerman for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I think that you're exactly right for the Dubois situation. That might have made it a little bit simpler on that decision.
Yeah, you sign an insurance policy. That's what they did in Sam Gagne, and that's why you buy the policy. So if you need to use it, you do. And Sam, as you said, had a great training camp, so there's no reason he shouldn't be on this club. Let's stay with the forwards while we're talking about this. Two guys that cracked the lineup now that weren't there on a regular basis last year. Josh Anderson essentially replaces Jared Bohl on the right side on the fourth line. And Oliver Bjorkstrand makes this club after a great playoff last year. He's a pure goal scorer. I think when you look at this group of forwards, if he lives up to his potential, he's going to be that guy that's going to rack up the goals and join the likes of Brandon Saad and Boone Jenner, who each had over 30 last year. Cam Atkinson had 27. So, these two young guys look to be a good fit up front.
Absolutely, and it's amazing because you look at some of the pedigree of the players who are making this team right now, and Jarmo and his scouting staff have gone for intellectual people, it looks like, people who have great hockey sense. And we talk about it all the time, but it's knowing the game, understanding the game at a level that you just can't teach. Bjorkstrand's one of those guys. The puck follows him around is the term that John Tortorella likes to use, the head coach. He watched him play in Cleveland. He saw him at the end of the year here with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And that is not just – the puck doesn't just follow you around. You know, not just a lucky guy that, oh, look, the puck's following me around. No, you're smart enough to know where the puck is going to end up in two plays. And that's the type of player Bjorkstrand is up front. You talk about a guy that's intellectually smart. He had huge goals in that playoff run for the Cleveland Monsters, and that's – exactly what the Blue Jackets were missing last year. Big-time saves at the right time and big-time goals at the right time. So hopefully he'll bring that craft to us.
Here is the best example of everything that you're talking about. Saturday scores two goals in Pittsburgh. Preseason game, I know. But a preseason game with both of the basically starting rosters playing against one another. He scores two goals. The second one, he shot it through the side of the net. He found a hole in the side of the net, made a hole in the side of the net. I don't know. He partially fanned on the first one, and it trickled through. And as I said to him after the game, I said, come on, be honest. You got nothing on the first one, so the second one, you shot it so hard, you just snapped the net. But he put it through the side. Listen, that's what happens with goal scorers. They get those kind of breaks, whereas a fourth-line guy that scores two or three a year just doesn't get those breaks.
Lucky Luke. He got that name, Luke Robitaille, for a reason. He scored... he was unbelievable at scoring goals, and he had a knack for it. And if you ask him about how he scored his goals, he probably can't remember any. But, hey, they don't ask how. They ask how many.
That's right.
That's the sign of a smart goal scorer. And the other guy up front, I think, that replaced Rene Bork from last year is Josh Anderson. And these two guys, Bjorkstrand and Anderson, had a little extra pressure coming into camp because they knew it was their spot to lose. And as a young player, and I think we saw the nerves from both these guys.
We saw it their first three games
played. And I was going to say, Bjorkstrand, I think he solidified his spot in that last game in Pittsburgh. Two goals, doesn't matter how, but right place, right time, when I think an article came out the day before about how are the Blue Jackets going to score. Kind of relieved some pressure on that. And then Josh Anderson. You know, he knew he had a spot, and you get tight, you get tense, and you don't just play hockey. And it's so hard to find that groove where you just relax and play instead of trying to be perfect. But those both guys, they both had humongous smiles on their faces today after practice, getting ready for game one tomorrow night.
They sure did. And I'll tell you what, this is where patience in management really pays off because, you know, I have zero patience. Like I was... There was a time like a week ago, I'm like, these guys, what's going on? These guys, I thought they were going to make the team, but they don't even look like they belong here. And then, like you said, by Saturday, everything turns around. Let's go to the blue line where there's one, to me, there are two guys, one not a surprise whatsoever, the other one a complete surprise because he just got signed to a contract last year when we were wrapping things up right at the end of the season. Marcus Nuttavaara, young defenseman, a little bit older than the other guy we'll talk about here, Zach Werenski, who just turned 19 during the American Hockey League playoffs last year. But Nuttavaara is coming over from Europe. He's making the adjustment to the NHL-sized rink. They love how he skates. They love that he skates with his head up. They love that he can carry the puck out of his own zone, which is the game today in the NHL. And they just kept putting him in there in the preseason, and he didn't let him take him out. And lo and behold, here he is with a spot on opening night.
And it's amazing. Seventh-round pick. Player that was pretty high in the depth chart, I think, for the scouting staff of the Columbus Blue Jackets. But we didn't really notice him until the first practice. And you could tell that this kid, you notice things like getting shots through players that are trying to block it. I think Werenski does the same thing. He can skate his first couple strides. He gets the top speed really smooth and quick. And the way Torts wants to play right now, and we'll talk to him later in the show, is he wants players, especially defensemen, up in the attack, and he's a guy that can do that. So you got to be smart, and you got to have the speed and the skill to do it. So Nudivara is a guy that, pleasant surprise. And I think Torts likes those surprises. I think he would have he's the type of guy that, you know, Torts looks for those guys that he can kind of bring out of the diamond in the rough. And I think Nudivara is that guy. And, boy, he's a guy that played in the Finnish Elite League last year, trained with some NHL players in the summer, and sat with him today, and I said, hey, NHL, congratulations. And he just had this smile like a big kid at Christmas. And that's the fun of bringing youth and young kids, we've talked about three now, into that locker room. It just, and something else, Bob, you talk about patience. When you look at the guys in this roster, finished 27th last year, no big trade deadline deals, no big off-season signings, the signing in Gagne, and four new players from the minor league system. That's a sign of a good organization.
And let's talk about Zach Werenski before we're finished here, because he needs to be talked about. This guy turned pro last year at the end of the year, didn't hold out and say, I have to go to the NHL. He just signed to play in the American Hockey League, finished the regular season, was arguably the best defenseman in the playoffs in Cleveland. The team wins a Calder Cup championship. And then he comes in, and I'm telling you, during the preseason, because I don't want to be the guy that sits and gushes all over this kid at 19 years old, because I know he's going to hit some bumps here, and who knows? You know, he'll have his down spots, but I don't know when they're coming, because I watched him play, and you saw him in Nashville last week. It's an overtime situation. It's a 3-on-3. He's out there, and he's going up against Mike Fisher, and he's just trying to turn him inside out and this way and that way to get a one-on-one with a goalie. And he just wouldn't let it happen. At 19 years old, going up against a crafty veteran like that, that was pretty impressive. He's running the power play. He's playing on the penalty kill. They're giving him big minutes, and he's eating them up.
It's amazing. And I'm the same as you, Bob. We're kind of maybe it's because we were in the minors, and we saw some of the people that management were getting excited about. And we're like, what? How? We don't see it. So we kind of reserve judgment. But I agree with you. I think you're going to be talking about this guy all year. Zach Werenski is young. He's poised. He's a champion. His first stint at a professional level last year with the Calder Cup. And you're right. He's got some composure. And we talked about Bjorkstrand being a smart hockey player. I think there's an argument for Zach Werenski maybe one of the most intelligent hockey players on this team. He's very poised. And some little things he does – even the way he carries his stick and the way his head is always up, always when he's on the ice, is pretty, I think it's pretty fascinating to watch a 19-year-old play the way he does.
You got him, Ryan Murray, Seth Jones, very young, David Savard, Jack Johnson, Nudivara we talked about. It'll be interesting. The defense is young, and, you know, once upon a time, you wouldn't even think about putting a team together like that, but these are different times in the NHL, and it's going to be fun to watch. Well, we've told you what we think of the roster and the way it's set up. What does the head coach of the Blue Jackets think about it? You'll find out from John Tortorella next here on 97.1 The Fan. The Inside Edge continues right before the Blue Jackets open their season tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena, when they take on the Boston Bruins. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. And earlier today, we had a chance to sit down and have a long conversation with the head coach of the Blue Jackets, John Tortorella.
Torts, first of all, thanks for taking some time out of a busy schedule, and I know it's been busy for you for weeks on end now, but when this camp ended and you put this team together, you get it down to the final group, how pleased are you with the group that you came out with?
The camp itself, right on through, it was a hard camp early on there, the first couple of weeks, high volume of skating. I thought the camp handled himself very well. It was really important for us those last two exhibition games to really try to get down to our team and to play as a team. I thought especially in Pittsburgh, I saw a lot of good things as far as just our team concept, the camaraderie. And we were up 2-0. They tie it 2-2. We don't get rattled. We just keep on playing. I'm pleased with the camp. I know everybody. I know they're in shape. They came into camp in really good shape. It was a very rigorous camp. I'm really happy with the conditioning part of it. And with the team we have right now, there's probably going to be 4 young kids in there. Our back end is going to be very young. But I really like the addition of some of the skill that I think will be in the lineup when we play Boston.
When you talk about camp, because I know when you got here last year, there was veteran players that asked me about your camp. I never went through it, but it's pretty well known about your camp. Is there a part of that that galvanizes those players? Because they go through it together.
Yeah, it's an old school camp, but that part, the mental part of it, you're talking about the camaraderie that comes into play. We had a meeting as a team prior to practice, and one player stood up and said that they felt they've gotten to another level just getting through the camp. There is a little bit of method to the madness and the mental part of it. So I was thrilled when I heard a player say that, and other guys kind of joined in. So that's very important the camaraderie, the culture of fighting through when you're tired and getting things done. All that comes into play when your season starts. So to hear a player say it from a coach, it was great to hear when we're looking at our first game coming up tomorrow night.
Could he have played 3 more years if he would have had to go through your camp?
I was surprised he retired. When he was in New York, I was with Glenn Say that we talked on the phone. I wanted to get him back so badly. But Philly added, I think, an extra year on your contract. Yeah. I didn't want him to leave New York. Because quite honestly, he brought some leadership that we needed. We were a pretty young group at that point in time. And I was hoping that he'd come back, but it didn't work out that way.
Speaking of that, and this is an interesting group of leadership. You have a captain last year, Nick Foligno, who has publicly come out, and he wants to be better. You expect the older guys to take a step. Is it too early to see that step in this camp, or have you seen some good things?
I've seen it, but I want to see the test of it when the regular season starts. And when you go through a little bit of adversity, how does the leadership group handle it, led by Nick? How do you handle yourself when you're winning? Because I would really like to see to change a little bit of our standard. I think we need to raise the standard. We talked about that through all camp. We talked about the standard of how hard we work, how we play. I want to see our team after we win a game. Are we businesslike when we come in the next morning? And are we ready to improve? Or do we get just way too high? Those are the things you need to see out of the core, your core leaders, how they handle themselves. Because I have really stressed that this needs to be business. We have a lot of things that we need to do to improve and, quite honestly, gain respect in this league. And that's where the chip on my shoulder is, and I hope they have it, is I don't think we have any respect in this league. And that's our job to earn that. It's a tough league, you know it, to get respect. And I hope we go into that mindset. So there's a lot of different things we're going to be looking for as we start the season.
Torch, you talked about how young you are. You're going to have some young bodies, and especially on defense. There was a day in this league where you'd panic if you had a bunch of young defensemen because, well, how are they going to handle things? They'll make mistakes. Nowadays, the whole game's going young, but especially on the back end. How big of concerns, or do you have any concerns on these young kids?
Well, they're just like any other team. When I've said to you many times, goaltending the most important position, defense is the toughest one to play. We're going to have some bumps in the road with some of the kids in our lineup, but quite honestly, that's going to be our engine. If we're going to be a good team not only this year, but as we progress to the future, it's going to start with that back end. And this Nudavara comes in here, and Yarmo talked to me about him over the summer, and I said, yeah, I want to see it myself. And I watch him, his skill, his legs. You got Murray, you got Werenski coming off a Calder Cup championship that I don't think he's afraid of anything on the ice as far as not, he's just not afraid to make a mistake, and I think that's a really good thing to have, especially in your backhand trying to get the puck up the ice. So, yeah, how we go, it's going to be off of them. I think that Pittsburgh game, was probably our best game of the preseason. I saw our blue line up the ice every shift. And and sometimes two of them. And so I just love their aggressiveness. And so that's going to be a very important part. But as a coach, I get to turn away sometimes on some mistakes, just turn away and let them play through it. And that's part of a little bit of, I've coached myself this summer, and where I want us to open it up a little more. We have a sign on our door right before we go out now. We just put it up today, safe as death. I don't want us to be a safe team. I still want some responsibility to come into play. It's not about playing reckless, but I want us to take some more chances. I think we've added some people to our lineup, and I just want to change our personality a little bit. But it falls on me if a couple of mistakes happen, what do I do? And I need to turn away. I need to walk down the end of the bench sometimes and just leave it alone and work through it. And I think we'll progress quicker that way.
That'll be maybe hard to do, or are you ready for that?
Well, no, I don't think it's going to be hard to do. I've prepared myself, but I don't want it to be when it's the fourth and fifth time that the same mistake is made. That's when we have to. So we're going to go through a defining role here of kind of changing our style to being more, taking more chances. We just got to find the right niche there. And because I think if you open it up offensively and allow guys to make more plays, it still doesn't take away when you don't have the puck, having responsibility defensively. So it's kind of a two-way street. I've asked him, I said, I'm going to let you go, but don't hang me out to dry. You got to show me something back the other way that you're going to work hard away from the puck too.
You've been in the NHL a long time, and last year at the end of the year, I know you went down and watched the American League team. And it's not the NHL, but what was that like for you to get those first impressions?
It was, for me, especially the whirlwind that happened when I came here last year, I really didn't know much about the kids at all. So it gave me a chance. Although we wanted to be in the playoffs, we didn't make it, so it served me well just to watch the whole organization as far as kids. And to be able to see them play four rounds and win the thing, that was even better. So when I came to camp this year, I knew who the kids were, where last year I didn't even know who our team was when I came in here. So it really helped me. And to I was fortunate enough to be involved with the Buffalo organization when I was in Roch to win a Calder Cup there. Four rounds, Jody. Four rounds is four rounds, no matter what league you're in hockey. It's hard. And I got to see this team do that. And for some of the kids, the Bjorkstrands is going to play with us tomorrow. Werenski in the back end coming out of college. Josh Anderson was going to be here. That's such a great training ground. So it was great for them. But more importantly, it gave me a whole scope of what the young guys are within our organization.
They made that look so easy, too. I mean, they went through the playoffs like hot knife through butter.
Yeah, they I thought their goal. The interesting thing, the goaltending situation, Corpy plays unbelievable, struggles a bit. And then Forsberg comes in, and it just won't give the net back to Corpy. So it's great competition. And really, to go through four rounds in that league where everybody's chasing you around, it's such a tough league to play in. For this organization and the amount of kids that were down there that we were projecting that we're going to take the next step, to go through that, it was fantastic. And really, a great job by Beds and his staff down there. They have him and Prater have since gone to Colorado. Really great job by the coaching staff as far as developing those kids.
And he's talking about Jared Bednar and Nolan Pratt, both who left the Lake Erie Monsters after last year and are now coaching with the Colorado Avalanche. Jared Bednar, the head coach. He and Torts will be going head-to-head, matching wits later in the season. Hey, we've got much more with head coach John Tortorella as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan.
To the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Watch with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
On your home of the Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Tomorrow night, the Boston Bruins come to town. Blue Jackets drop the puck at 7 o'clock to get the 2016-2017 season underway. Bob McElligan, Jody Shelley with you. Earlier today, we talked with head coach John Tortorella, and that interview continues right now.
You mentioned earlier, your goaltender's got to be your best player. Last year, your goaltender wasn't your best player. He was hurt a lot. He was off for him. He had an off year. This year, he has come in. First of all, he looked great for Team Russia in the World Cup of Hockey. You got to see him up close there
really
in that
good.
Tournament. And it looks like that's continued. The game, you brought up the Pittsburgh preseason game, He was fantastic. You don't win the game if he's not playing in goal in that game.
We could be down 3-0 in the first 12 minutes. He makes three or four great saves in that game. And that's the way it's going to have to be. Like I said, we're going to have some bumps with our kids, especially in the back end. Bob has admitted that, you know, he did not play well last year. It from a coaching point of view, he comes in 18 pounds lighter. He changed his training. I think he was very frustrated with himself. We had a couple of pointed conversations as we went through the year, and at the end of the year, it's great to have an athlete that wants to prove something to himself. And you know Bob. He's probably the hardest worker on our team. Such a great guy. He cares. And so it's a nice situation as we start the season, playing a game like he did in Pittsburgh to come into the regular season. I think it sets them up really well. So if we're going to play a little bit differently and try to make more plays and have the puck more, there's going to be some breakdowns, and he's going to have to be good. He's going to have to make some saves. So anxious to see how we get going when we go against Boston.
I go back to this summer. So we talked about the Calder Cup. You do the World Cup with Team USA, and the Stanley Cup came out. Do you find yourself thinking about your team while you're watching those situations, or do you watch it all, or are you just totally locked in on those different?
No, for me, I had so much catching up to do with our team that has never been off my mind. As far as I couldn't wait for camp. As much as I was disappointed and frustrated that we just weren't successful in the World Cup with the U.S. team, It took me a day or so, and I knew I was going back to my team, in a team that I felt I needed to be. I said it to you guys before. I was kind of confused that I was going to miss summer camp, and as it turns out, I don't miss a whole bunch of it. I wanted to see the testing. I missed those couple of days, but then I'm right here. So that was important. So, Jody, I never stopped thinking of our team when we finished the year. I just think there needs to be some changes mentally. I think we've kind of gone through a little bit of that through camp, so that was always on my mind.
All right, we're going to leave you with this. What about you? Last year you came in here 7 games in. It was a whirlwind. You got a call in the middle of the night. You're driving in here. You're flying to Minnesota the next day. Now you've had a chance to settle in. You've got a place to live. Your wife can be here. All of those things that are distractions off the – yeah, the dogs are all here. So,
but they're not here.
They're not
here.
Oh, they're not here yet?
No, they were supposed to come 2 days ago, and – they still haven't come. So
you're still distracted. See, I was
getting
this.
I have no distractions. I have no distractions.
I didn't mean it like that. But is it nice for you, I mean, just knowing, you know, the personal stuff? Because it can be, people don't realize what you go through when you're making a transition.
I felt I was trying to catch up all year long, quite honestly. And, because I just didn't know a lot of the players. I didn't know the intangibles of the players, knew nothing about the kids. Yarmo and I are trying to figure out our relationship. JD, I know JD, but I'm more hands-on with Yarmo and Billy and my staff, knowing the coaches, them knowing me. I'm a difficult guy to get to know right away. I think it takes a little time to understand me. So it's both ways. So I feel so much more comfortable, especially the most important people, the players. I think they understand me better, and I certainly understand them better.
Last year at this time, I mean, I know how much you love to do what you're doing. You're back in the league. What were you doing, and how excited are you to be here right now?
Yeah, what I was doing, wasn't I working? I think I was doing TV, NHL Network.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I enjoyed that part of it. It gave me a chance. I tried to protect coaches on the TV shows, not so much run them down, because everybody else runs them down. I tried to give an insight of what the coach is thinking. Yeah. But it wasn't, you're not in the heat, you know, you're not in the fire. And so to be in camp and listen, we put them through their paces, we did. But to watch them look at you, and because that's what I like. They're mad. You make them go one extra sprint, and they want to jam it to you. You know that. Jody, you've been there. And to watch them feel good when they do it and you didn't break me, that's what I love being around. I love being in the room with all the good stuff and all the conflict too. Not doing what you guys do.
So those producers didn't challenge you?
Yeah,
they never
did.
Looked at you like, I dare you to ask me another question.
No, they didn't. But But it's a great bit. That's a great part of the business. But it, to me, and because I certainly don't want to run anybody down, it just wasn't fulfilling. It kept you in the game, but not fulfilling to me is when a player argues with you and says, you know what? No, I saw it this way. And then you go through that whole process, but then you come to an agreement. You know what? And I go back in my office. You know what? He's right. Those are the things that you enjoy as a coach. All the everyday egos and all the things that come into play, and you're trying to get through the day, trying to do the best you can, trying to make them better, and then be better as a team. That's the fun part of coaching.
All right, I got to go find some fulfillment for myself here. There's no egos in our business. That's a good news.
Yeah. Whoa, wait a minute.
And we'll stop right there. Yes. Torch, thank you very much. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Good to see you guys.
That is head coach John Tortorella of the Blue Jackets, and I really don't know where we go from there. I mean, that was our first interview of the year with him, and I don't think we can get any better.
You know what I liked about it? He really enjoyed it. I think he enjoyed getting the interview. He's excited about the season camp. I think he embraced it all. The World Cup, when you back it up even a few weeks, he just loves being in that locker room, and I think he loves talking hockey more than he'll let on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't wait to hear what he said when you asked him about last year, because I remember being in Minnesota that first night, and he came up. We were having dinner in the hotel, and he came up, and I asked him that night, not even knowing him, I said, how did you like doing the TV stuff? And he said, you know what? I liked the production meetings. I liked eating the pizza and talking about what we were going to talk about on the show, but I hated to go on TV and talk about that stuff. So, he always likes the hard work. Everything else is just the gravy, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he loves it. Yeah, and it's awesome. I think it's infectious. We get a perception, or everyone does, of Torts on the outside because the cameras want to see him when he's, yelling or not doing something out of character. But boy, I'll tell you what, that's not a lot of the time. A lot of the time, he's so passionate. He's so loyal. He's such a good person that, when we're fortunate, he's a joy to be around.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys, he wears his heart on his sleeve. So, as you said, this goes with all sports. How many times do they show the sideline or the bench when something great happens? Let's say baseball right now, playoffs are going on. Somebody hits a game-winning hit. They show the dugout. They show all the players pouring out. They hardly ever show the manager and his reaction. But, boy, let a guy make a big error or make a big mistake, and that's the first thing they bam right on a coach. And when you're a guy that wears your heart on your sleeve, a lot of times whatever your look is or whatever comes out of your mouth or whatever, it's misinterpreted of your actual character. And I think in that interview, if you were listening even a little bit, you can hear his actual character.
I couldn't agree more. He's exactly what you just said, Bobby. He appreciates it so much, too, and that's kind of what we were alluding to when we asked him what he was doing last year at this time. And I kind of asked that because you could feel all day, and especially during our conversation, he just loved to be in. He's in it up to his eyeballs right now, and he loves it.
Yeah. And
he missed it.
Yeah. So now we'll have to push back on him because he told us that's what he loves so much.
Hey, right. We're watching this game up here.
Yes.
Okay, Toronto-Ottawa. Sign of the times in Toronto, Austin Matthews debuted in the first period with his first NHL goal. You think Toronto's not going to be going crazy right now? Nylander assisted on it, as did Hyman. So all young players, and they'll be good. They'll be better, but I don't think they'll be better than the Blue Jackets.
No, and by the way, they're down 2-1, so that's for real. But I understand where you're coming from.
No, that's amazing.
And the NHL season started with this game 5 seconds in, an icing call. We were joking about that right before the show
the
started. Icing call 5 seconds in.
And we're off.
Okay. Oh, sorry. We forgot about you guys. Yeah, sorry. Forgot about the linesman. Hey, we've got time for a couple of calls in our last segment of the show. 614-821-9710. 821-9710. If you want to get on board, tell us what you think about this season. Why are you excited? Why aren't you excited? Doesn't matter. Let us know. 821-9710, The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.
This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
March with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
Your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
The Inside Edge continues. We go into the home stretch here on the very first show of the year. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. Blue Jackets start their season tomorrow when they take on the Boston Bruins. That is going to be a 7 o'clock game over at Nationwide Arena. 821-9710 is the number. What do you think? How excited are you? Let's go to the Lions and talk with Mike. You're up first. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm always excited about the season, but I've got three key things I'm looking for this year in particular. It's the young defensemen, how well they progress. I want to see this team compete with the talent they have. I think they can be really good, so I'm really looking forward to that. And just Bob. I mean, I want to see Bob be a stonewall back there and just shut him down, let the young guys develop in front of him.
Did you come to any of the preseason games?
I haven't made it out to a preseason game yet. I usually make sure I get to three or four regular season games.
I just wondered, which of the young guys are you most excited about, Mike?
I'm really excited about Werenski because I feel like I know what to expect right now from Murray and Jones, Johnson, Savard. Those guys are steady. I think you'll see progress there, but you know what you're going to get. Werenski and the other guy, I mean, just I don't know yet. I'm really excited to see what they can do.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. And see the other guy. That's what he's going to be. Nudavar is going to be the other guy for sure.
No, just till tomorrow night.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
I think by the weekend you'll know who he is. I like the enthusiasm from Mike. And you know what, Bob, it's interesting. Camp starts after finishing last season. You know, you come into camp and you're optimistic, you're excited. But by the time camp ended, the more I look at this team, the more the numbers get down, the more they practice together, I like this team. I love the fact that they're all together, people from last year, guys from last year, with the young guys. And I think it's exciting to have that enthusiasm. You got another call, Bob.
I do. And hold on for a second. We'll find out who it is. But just to follow up on that, last year I sensed an air of almost cockiness in the dressing room after the great preseason. There's none of that. I mean, I think these guys have been all business.
Excellent point.
Just kind of cool. There's a confidence, but it's very quiet because nobody's strutting right now. Everybody's just ready to go.
No, I like the loss at home to Boston because it was kind of like, where's the power play? Where's the scoring? And then they go into Pittsburgh with some urgency. So preseason is not the time to be perfect. It's the time to figure out what you need to work on.
Well, let's go back to the phones, 821-9710. Aaron's not excited about young guys so much, but about an old favorite in Boone Jenner. Is that right, Aaron?
Yeah, I think Boone Jenner is set to have one of those kind of big breakout years where he's playing hopefully gets to play his natural position and with some of the younger talent and some of the veterans maybe having a better year than they did last year. I think he could have one of those kind of huge years that hopefully propels the team well into the playoffs.
I assume when you say his natural position, you're talking about center.
At center, yeah.
Yeah, well, he'll start
if he's able to play center.
Yeah, well, he'll start on the wing, but he gets to play with Brandon Dubinsky and Cam Atkinson, which, he's been a very good winger in this league, and that's why he's there. But he can move to the middle, and we've seen him do that in the past. Whenever they need a guy to go there, he's certainly the guy. And he can come out. We saw this, Jody, in the preseason. He came out and he took some key faceoffs, even though he was on the wing.
Yeah, he's a utility player, and I think anyone that plays with Boone is excited because you know if there's a battle on the wall, and that's where all the battles take place. If I'm going to pick one guy to be in there on my line, it's Boone Jenner because he usually comes out with the puck, or if not, he comes out with a piece of somebody, and I love that about Boone. And, yeah, if Dubinsky gets kicked out of the center dot, Boone can come in and manhandle and probably win, good chance of winning that faceoff. So it's a good one, too, and they're usually playing against top lines. I like that line, and they're reliable, and they've played together before. So,
Aaron, do you think he can score 30 goals again this year?
I think he can score more than that this year.
There you go. All right, I like that, and I agree with you. And I think I think he's going to be a solid 20 to 25 guy every year, but he's got that potential to go 30-plus.
Well, when I said his natural position, I kind of meant, his best position, what he's been playing, and he's scoring goals in the left wing. And I think, if everyone else steps up, I think it makes it easier on him. I think that, the team plays as a whole could be one of those big years that, the kind of years that someone had, like the L.A. Kings did when they were the eighth seed in the playoffs and won the Stanley Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just got to get in, right?
That's it.
That's right. Aaron.
Somebody with a huge year, they'll carry somebody all the way through. That and the strong Bob, you never know.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate it. And it all starts tomorrow night over at Nationwide Arena. Actually, it all starts tomorrow afternoon, Jody, over at Nationwide Arena when the players arrive and they walk the blue carpet into the arena.
Exactly. They're going to get dropped off in Lexuses from Jermaine Lexus. They're going to walk the blue carpet in their nice suits with their big smiles on. And it starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Players will arrive around 3:30 starting, and they'll be amped up. And I tell you what, as a player, Bob, you can talk about getting through training camp, check the box on that. You can talk about finding your game and finding chemistry and making sure you're slotted on the team. These guys have done that, and now the first regular season game of the National Hockey League. And Josh Anderson has made the team. Bjorkstrand has made the team. Morenski, first NHL game coming down the pipe tomorrow. Nudavara, I mean, and then you have Sedlak that's waiting in the wings. Prout is waiting to get in there. And so is Harrington. So that's a lot of good things going on Nationwide Arena.
It's
going
to be a fight for every minute of ice time. And when you have guys like that that are on the outside looking in, you better be playing at the top of your game because, you know, there's no slouches waiting to come in. You make a mistake out of that group that you just talked about, one of those guys can come in and take your job come Saturday night against the Sharks.
Oh, don't think that Torts and the coaching staff haven't watched Harrington and Sedlak and Prout closely. And, yeah, there'll be changes immediately. So all good right now and an exciting time. Now, four young guys in the lineup, what that does to the veterans, Bob, that brings in a nice level of excitement tomorrow afternoon because those players aren't going to be able to sleep tonight or tomorrow afternoon, and they're going to be so amped up and excited that they made the team, and it is infectious throughout the room, and it's a focus point right through warm-up. So it's fun.
It'll be great, and – you know, normally on a day before a game, we'd be talking about the opposition and the Boston Bruins, a team that had a lot of disappointment last year, and they've got to fight their way back into the postseason. They made changes, but tomorrow is about the Columbus Blue Jackets. They'll face the Bruins two more times this year. We could talk about that then. Tomorrow is about them. It is about taking the youth, infusing it with the experience, and putting together 60 minutes or 65 or whatever it takes to find a way to get a win. Last year, they were within minutes of getting those 2 points on opening night. It didn't happen, and we know what happened from there. So it'll be an exciting night, and they're going to be ready for it. And all of the stuff coming up tomorrow, as Jody said, 3 o'clock, the Plaza Party will start right out on Front Street and Nationwide Arena. 3:30, the players start to arrive, and they'll walk the blue carpet into the arena. And tomorrow, of course, you can find all kinds of stuff at BlueJackets.com, Blue Jackets Twitter feed. Jody and me, we will have stuff on our Twitter feeds tomorrow. And then pregame coverage will start tomorrow night at 6:45 right here on 97.1 The Fan. And I'll take you throughout the entire game. Jody will be on Fox Sports Ohio tomorrow night. So it's here. It's time. It's ready to go. We've waited months for this day, and the day arrives tomorrow. Blue Jackets, Boston Bruins, 7 o'clock over at Nationwide Arena. The 2016-2017 season is going to start. Hope you'll be there, and we'll talk to you next week on another edition of The Inside Edge.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
March with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.